Here in Las Vegas with Michael Goudeau.
Thank you, sir.
Sitting here on a beautiful Monday morning, President's Day.
Yep.
President's Day.
Are we supposed to have the day off?
I think so. No, see, that's the deal you made when you got in show business.
Yeah.
Whenever other people want to go out, that's when you're working. That's when you're working crazy.
That's true. I never wait in line at restaurants.
Yeah, I know. You always eat at a different time. Totally different time.
Nice thing.
You know, that's the big thing. You know, when Penn and Teller got more successful, we have a whole theater named after us, and we've got, you know, plenty of money and stuff. We take New Year's Eve off.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. And not because I want to go out and party, but because the contrary.
You want to stay away from the people out partying.
I also love the fact that I use the word party, go out and party, because that's the only time I've used party as a verb probably ever. Usually I use the word party as a noun. Or an adjective. And when I use it as an adjective, it's followed by the word hat. Party hat.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't like to, you know, we used to play in Vegas. You do a show New Year's Eve, right, Lance?
Yeah, one.
When you do a show on New Year's Eve, see, it's President's Day, so we can talk about New Year's Eve. It's topical.
Right, yeah, right on it.
Topical. When you're when
we're
you're
only 3 months behind.
when you're doing a show in Vegas, New Year's Eve is your cash cow. It's your money hog. You know, you make a lot of money on New Year's Eve.
Oh yeah, we charge more for the tickets.
You charge more for the tickets, and it's filled up, right?
Yeah.
And what do? You give them like a plastic champagne glass.
I believe you said it. Party hat.
And then you charge what? What do you charge them?
I don't know. It's more.
It's like double or something. It's
usually double, yeah.
Sometimes you'd play New Year's Eve and it'd be like triple or four times.
You know, we stopped doing that. We actually do just one show at 7.
Now. So earlier, yeah. But it would be horrible because you'd end your year. And, of course, holidays don't mean jack to me. You know, I'm just so disgusted. I don't care about birthdays. I don't care about any holiday at all. You know, last Valentine's Day,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I give my wife flowers a week or two before.
Pro flowers,
on the day I was working really hard. Pro flowers. I was working really hard on the day we're doing the Showtime
show. Bulls hit.
Bulls hit on that day. And, you know, we didn't do anything. We just, you know, that evening we watched movies together and had a great time. And Christmas, of course, you know, means nothing to me, nothing at all. And I'm even uncomfortable saying the word.
You and I are different on this. See, I like that. I like that season. I like the gifts. I like playing with the kids.
You don't play with your kids except for that one
No,
season?
Only one day a year.
One day a year.
And that's the one. And
That would mean a lot. If you have the willpower to not play with your kids except for Christmas.
That's what makes it so special.
Special. Special
day. They look forward. They're up early.
Do you have a tree?
Yeah, I do. I have a giant Christmas tree. I love the smell of it.
Is it up now?
No.
You have a real Christmas tree?
I have a real one.
Wow.
Yeah, I get a real
one. Where do you go? Do you go to like some parking lot somewhere?
Yeah, I go to a parking lot, a dirt lot somewhere, and some criminal sells me a tree. He says, how much is that tree? He says, $100. And I say, I don't have $100. He goes, okay, $8 here. I say, I'll give you $6.
I do string popcorn?
No, my children did this year. Yeah.
They string popcorn? You give your children needles to play with?
I do, yeah.
But you do
your
show.
I can only play with them once a year. The rest of the time, they're in the hospital.
There's a restraining order.
Yeah, exactly.
Giving needles to your kids. But New Year's Eve, we would do these shows, right?
Yeah.
And on that New Year's Eve, you'd get filthy rich, you know.
Right.
Because we're usually producing our shows.
Right.
We're like Lance, you know. You know how much more money Lance makes than you? That's the amount more money I make than you.
Okay, well, there you go.
And we'd make all this money, and everybody's happy, but I'd always feel miserable because on New Year's Eve, no one wants to see our show. You know, I mean, they want to be there, but they get a lot of other stuff on their mind.
They want to be somewhere.
So let them go see Wayne Newton. Which is another way to say go to hell. go see
Wayne Newton.
Go see Wayne Newton.
I like
Wayne's show.
It's still a good phrase.
Yeah, better say go Danny Gans.
Okay, there you go.
There was an article in the paper a while ago. I do not care. Now, see, this is something I should never talk about because you can talk about Danny Gans in Vegas.
Right.
Like those listening on Spike are going like, oh,
right,
he's
Danny
talking
Gans.
About Danny
oh,
Gans, boy. Someone else hates Danny Gans. Woo-hoo! We all hate Danny Gans, Penn. Run for governor.
No nobody outside of Vegas knows who Danny Gans is.
Albert Brooks. Albert Brooks once called me.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking to Albert Brooks on the phone, and he said, Ben, tell me something. Is there still the sign right on the edge of Vegas that says nobody beyond this point knows who the hell Danny Gans is? Is that sign still there, Ben? Tell me, Ben, is the sign still there? It's an important sign, Ben.
That's a very good impersonation.
Thank you. It wasn't Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, that's,
didn't someone
that's
write in about my Yosemite Sam?
Yes, you say Wabbit.
I do say Wabbit. I go, oh, I hate Wabbits. Well, and Yosemite Sam doesn't say Wabbit.
He doesn't even hate rabbits.
He doesn't?
No, I don't think so.
Yosemite Sam fights Bugs Bunny. We need to call in 866-313-3733. if you want to tell us, Yosemite Sam does hate rabbits. He just doesn't hate wabbits.
Okay.
He hates rabbits because he's hunting Bugs Bunny.
All right, I guess.
Everybody on the, every guest, every guest on the Bugs Bunny show, I think, hates rabbits.
Okay.
Has to.
All right.
Well, no, I guess not. I guess, wasn't Marty the Martian on there, too?
Yeah, but he was shooting Daffy Duck.
Oh, he was against Daffy Duck?
He was against Daffy, yes.
If you want to be a guest
star. Anti-Bugs, anti-Daffy, those are the choices.
If you want to be a guest star on CSI,
yeah.
The really good idea to be
sure.
Dead. Very good idea. And if you want to be a guest star on Bugs Bunny, probably best to go back in time and hate rabbits.
You know what I think? I've told you this before. I think you and Teller ought to be on Dancing with the Stars. I really do.
Dancing with each other?
No, not with
you
each
wanna,
other. You
each have down a different some partner. Walls?
Because then, I hate to say this, but I think Teller would kick your butt.
No. Teller's, really? Teller's sense of rhythm.
Okay.
I mean, is not good.
Good morning, Teller.
Good morning, Lance. Teller has a beat like a cop. He really does.
Okay.
He doesn't. Now, you are not particularly musical.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and neither is Teller. I mean, Teller appreciates intellectually music.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch him, and next time you do this, of course, now he'll be self-conscious. But next time you're around Teller, put some music on and then see if you can let him tap his foot. Which he doesn't do that often. He does tap his foot, most likely be wrong. As a matter of fact, we appeared on the Today Show, right? We made Wayne Newton appear, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Really?
And, yeah, we did. And then Wayne Newton sang Donk of Shame.
Yeah, which we covered extensively.
We've talked too much on this show. About Donk of Shame and Frosty the Snowman have been very well documented on this show. 866-313-FREE is what we're talking about. We might get to some calls. We might not. Who can tell?
We do have some Gmails,
okay,
though.
We'll get to those. But I have to finish the story.
Okay.
So
okay.
Why'd you interrupt me with the phone number?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Wayne Newton appears, right?
Yes.
Wayne Newton's like, man, it's like 5 a.m, you know, and I can hardly have my eyes open, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can hardly move. And Wayne Newton gets out of this box where we had to hide him. We're hiding him in a box.
It's a
box,
magic trick.
You know?
You're giving it away on the radio. Stop. Stop now.
He's being hit. I think we borrowed it from Lance. So it's not really our magic trick giving away. It's Lance's. And it's a false bass, and he's sitting there with his legs out. So here's Wayne Newton, who has got to be older than me.
Right.
He's got to be
probably
like 10 years younger than Dirt, right?
Uh-huh.
And I've talked about this before, too. Gary Busey and Wayne Newton hit you when they meet you. If they like you, they hit you. They do that man-friendly thing.
Uh-huh.
Ah, I do not like it. But Wayne Newton, I do like Wayne Newton. Nice guy.
Other than the hitting,
than the date rape and donkey shame. Not that I don't want to give anybody the wrong idea. It's a backstory thing. Wayne Newton did not date rape me. But I'd like him to. He comes out. His hair is perfect. You know, he's got that perfect tan. He looks great. And the host, who I even forgot who it was. Who was the host of the Today Show? Doesn't matter. Some meat puppet. And she's going, sing Donk of Shame, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Wayne Newton goes, everybody sing Donk of Shame, darling. And Teller starts snapping his fingers. And Wayne Newton turns to him in the middle of Donk of Shame and says, you have no sense of rhythm whatsoever, do you?
on TV?
On TV. Yeah.
Wow. So you exposing it on radio is really not a big deal at this point.
It is, because I've never said to Teller that I heard that or thought it was funny. And it's possible that Teller thinks that...
he thinks Wayne was kidding.
Wayne was kidding. Yeah. But we are on Monday, you know, today.
Yes.
We are taping an episode of The View.
Oh, ooh,
so
ooh.
Teller is going to be over at the studio preparing.
Yes.
He's getting everything. We're doing the cups and balls. I think they're just taping it. They're going to later. But right after the show, I have to run right over and get to The View, and we're taping. See,
it's not live?
They fake things all the time in The View.
No,
you think
are.
Joy Behar, she's just chatting with people in real time. She's taping
it's taped ahead.
They act like it's live.
You're
they
kidding.
Act like they're just talking to each other. So Teller is going to be over there, right, monkeying with the cups. cops involved and setting stuff up. I don't think he's going to listen to the show. So this is a very good show here on President's Day. Very good show to talk about Teller.
Okay.
And Teller has no sense of rhythm. During the fire eating thing we did.
Right.
Now, most people are watching me and the very attractive showgirl, Georgie Pernasek,
yes,
eat fire. We do flaming kisses, which, incidentally, I did not invent.
You did not.
Not even close.
You've discovered now that you did not.
I got that letter from Claudia, one of the cartoon girls, and she talked about her grandfather in Hungary, which is the way you start every lie. My grandfather in Hungary invented the internet, and she says that goes way back.
He had been doing it in Budapest since the dawn of man.
Yes, since the dawn of man. Okay. As a matter of fact, in the first monolith, they lit a torch off it when we went from monkey to man.
Where did he get the gas?
Threw a torch in the air. What do you mean, where did he get the gas? During the monolith times, dinosaurs were walking around. They weren't buried up. You could just put a tap on them, and oil just flowed out. Dinosaurs had oil flowing in their veins. Wasn't there a story about the Tyrannosaurus Rex? Yes, there was. There was a story about the T-Rex being much less...
Much less mobile. Yes, there was.
Much less mobile.
There's been a bunch on T-Rex lately.
Yeah. They were much less mobile. They needed a lot of room to turn around.
Right.
Which I think means that they're going to change... They're going to change the designation from the Raptor group, which is what the T-Rex are.
Right.
They're not going to be called the Explorer group.
the Ford Explorer group.
Or is it the Expedition? What's the bigger one?
I don't know.
I'm not really qualified to make car jokes. All of a sudden, we're click and clack here trying to do car jokes. But, so now, the T-Rex is no longer a Raptor.
Your wife emailed and said The View will run on Thursday. Your View episode will run Thursday.
That's what liars they are. They're so disingenuous and sneaky.
They're taping later today, they're going to act like
it's all I hope, right? Maybe I'll do a thing, because we're taping this today, this afternoon.
Right.
We are taping The View that'll be shown on Thursday.
Yeah.
And if you watch The View on Thursday, which does not in any market conflict with the Penn Jillette show.
Of course not.
If you're watching The View on Thursday, maybe I can do something sneaky. Like, maybe I can predict something. Here's what we could do, right?
Right.
On Monday, I'll just say kind of quietly, boy, I wish Goudeau hadn't said that on the radio. And then, like Thursday, before The View airs, or maybe Wednesday before The View airs, you can go on the radio and say something that will get you killed.
Well, write it down, please. Yeah.
Write down something like, you could really say something outrageous. Probably about Mohammed.
Okay,
and cause those riots. And then I will say, but why are we helping The View out?
I don't know.
It was going to be such a cool idea to get you killed.
Just to make
it look like The View was live, but I won't do that. What else we had in Gmails there?
We got email.
Penn Radio.
As long as we're talking about the Muslim cartoons, and we have certainly talked about the Muslim cartoons, we got email just a day ago and that says, unfortunately, due to some meetings here at work, I've missed a couple of the last few shows. So I don't know if you went over this, but I found this and thought you would appreciate it. And they emailed us this thing that says, a Danish paper published cartoons that mock Muslims. So I don't know if we've covered that.
An informed,
I love that joke.
An informed listener is our best customer. The more you know about news and politics, the more you will enjoy the Penn Jillette show.
That's right.
With Michael Goudeau. Lawrence O'Donnell was on Friday.
Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
Such a great. From Honolulu.
Sure.
Waikiki. Does it make any difference?
The Royal Hawaiian. The Peak Palace of the Pacific.
Are we broadcast at all in Hawaii?
No, I don't think so.
I don't like Hawaii.
You don't?
Not one bit.
Now that you know that we're not broadcast there, if we were broadcast there, we would love it.
Love. Well, I went to Hawaii to get certified. And I don't mean certified insane. I went to Hawaii to
diving.
And I went to Maui. And the reason I went to Maui, there's one reason.
Yes.
So I could say to people, we were playing Atlantic City at the time.
Right.
At the Trump Casino.
Yeah.
And we had a week break. And it was like, was like 20 years ago. And I hadn't had a vacation. But I'd always wanted to say, here today, gone to Maui.
Right. You just thought that was the coolest joke ever.
So I said to the travel agent.
It was the 70s, wasn't it, when you were thinking this?
No, it was the 80s. It was
still a little late.
Probably 88. I was thinking, here today.
The joke hit in 72. 88, it finally got into your head.
The joke did not hit in 72.
Oh, look.
The joke here today, gone to Maui, goes back at least before Maui.
But I'm saying it hit in 72. That's when it became popular.
Popular? The joke was never popular.
It was bumper stickers.
No, it wasn't. Was it?
It was bumper stickers. It was T-shirts.
But in the 70s, everything was bumper stickers. You know, okay. Pi was a bumper sticker. 3.14.
That's enough. So you went to Maui.
That was a,
so that you could do that joke.
That was a bumper sticker.
What the hell are you talking about?
How did he get our number?
That's now my conscience.
That's it?
That's my conscience. This is
the devil's shoulder and the angel's shoulder.
Oh, you know, I did another kids thing, you know.
You didn't finish the Maui story yet.
I didn't finish my story.
You were going to dive. You learned to scuba dive in Maui.
And I thought, you know, I think I'd been to Hawaii once to do like a show. But people don't know this. When you travel to do shows, you're not actually traveling anywhere.
You're
in a place called On the Road. And Teller, who doesn't have any sense of rhythm at all, Teller, because he's not listening to the show today, because he's prepping for the View. What we're doing this afternoon on the View is the cups and balls,
yes,
with clear plastic
and he's
cups,
practicing,
which we have done a million zillion times.
He's conscientious.
We did it on Leno,
right?
We did it on our TV specials. We've done it a lot, but somehow we convinced the View that this was an exclusive. But I'll say something different.
Okay.
But it's a pretty cool trick. It's probably one of our best tricks. It's one of the tricks we practice the most, which I think is good. and we do the cups and balls with clear plastic cups.
Yes.
It's also the trick that got us in so much trouble with
magicians.
Magicians, not Muslims.
That's the word you're looking for.
Oh, man, can you imagine if the idea of magician and the idea of Muslim had been reversed? I mean, tell it I would be the Salman Rushdie, you know, and Danish cartoonist. Oh, I'm so glad that magicians don't have balls, you know. Pissing off magicians is like pissing off ventriloquists, you know. I'm going to kick your ass. But, man, thinking about if there was a thing in the Quran, if there was a, what, they have couplets, or they would have in the Quran?
I don't know.
It's not written in verse.
No, it's not.
I think the entire Quran is written in limericks. There was a young man named Muhammad.
Oh, no. Well, there you go. Now you've said something to get us both killed. Thank you. When this show airs on The View, they'll go, hey, you remember Ben Gillette? He's dead now. But
there was a young man named Muhammad who inspired a guy named Osama. Doesn't quite rhyme.
That's right.
They flew a few planes. No, this is a very bad avenue to go
down. Now.
I went to Maui. I went to Maui.
To go scuba diving.
Teller always sightsees when he goes places.
Sure.
We tour. He gets up. You know, I have your morning radio and stuff.
Right.
He gets up. He goes around. He takes pictures. Goes
Mr.
to the museum.
No talk.
Go to the art museum. Oh, let's have a good time. Blah, 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 blah. I sit in my hotel room and sulk. That is what I do when I'm on the road. So I didn't know what Maui was like.
Sure.
Here today, gone to Maui. That's what I said. I flew to Maui. I get scuba certified, and I had nothing to do in Maui. In the evenings and stuff, it was just didn't interest me at all. I mean, I walked on the beach a little bit. Of course, I didn't have a girlfriend with me at the time. I went with a guy from our crew to learn that. The
wow,
next
what
time,
was wrong with Maui? A lot of people go, it's for romance.
If you're going to screw, why do you have to be in Maui? You can screw in Pittsburgh.
Maui, and it was fun.
And I've had great sex in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? Just so you know. You can have great sex in Pittsburgh.
But we're combining
you have great
that
sex
and
in Baltimore.
Beach.
Yeah, you don't need
sex
a beach to have great
beach.
Sex.
You don't need the beach.
What is moisture and sand together? The answer is, sir, abrasive. This is Penn Jillette. We'll be back right after this. Penn Jillette on Penn Jillette Radio on Free FM. Call us, write us Gmails. Go to see Wayne Newt. That was Teller. Teller's rhythm. This is the day. Teller, as you all know, is taping The View. See, I'm taping The View, too.
Rehearsing for The View.
He's rehearsing. He's practicing.
He's setting
when you
up the
see
props.
On Thursday, when you see the way The View goes,
right.
Watch how smooth and debonair Teller is, and watch how incredibly clumsy and uncomfortable I am, because I'm not rehearsing.
He is
I'm
practicing.
Doing this. I'm here with you. I'm here with you,
thank
which
you.
Is more important. And also, they're trying to say, all the CBS guys are trying to say, are you going to... mention the radio show on The View. Because that's our audience, boy. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Those people who watch Joy Behar, you know, and star Jones.
Jones got it nicely
I've
done.
Been, I've been on The View
where
like,
did that come
I've been
from?
On The View like six times.
I know.
Been
You're
on the
good
like
at
six
it.
Times. Good at it. Last time I went on The View, because...
Weren't you on with Bonnie Hunt?
I don't want to talk about it. There's no reason to talk about women whose last names rhyme with the first word that comes to mind when you think of them.
Man.
You know, you just...
You were on, yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't go well, did it?
It did not go well at all. Because
you didn't push her down, though. You didn't, like, push her down or anything, did you?
No. Do I push people down?
No. But I mean, you know.
But she did go on. She argued with me about a medical thing, about magnetic resonance. And I told her, I said, what are you, high?
That always goes well. That's a good thing to say to another guest on a TV show.
She wasn't really a guest. She was one of the hosts, which I think is worse.
Well, look, in that case, you can say, are you high, if it's the host.
And she was talking, and I just said, are you high? And then she got all mad. And then she said that the reason I disagreed with her was because she was a woman. And then it was a whole feminist.
And it was a science question.
I wish I had Madam
Let's
Curry.
Let's vote on it again.
Yeah, exactly. Let's vote on the section.
You know, you're talking about Madam Curry, but
I love Madam Curry.
I know you do. And
I have a tattoo of Madam Curry.
We have email from, actually, this is a couple of days old and we haven't hit it yet. Mm-hmm. Have you ever mentioned a woman on the show that you weren't dating at some point? You always say, I remember so and so, who I was dating at the time. And Angie thinks you say that once a day. Are you now going to claim to have been dating Marie Curie?
I never did.
Amelia Earhart and I were dating, I told her not to take that plane.
I did not date Nadine Strossen. I've talked about
Nadine
Strossen.
But you went to a strip club with her.
Yes. Did not date.
A lot of people would think that is a date.
No, it wasn't a date. Her husband didn't think it was a date.
Ooh.
Okay.
He didn't think it was a date.
Margaret Downey Jr.
Right.
I mean, Margaret Downey, but I call her Margaret Downey Jr., who's the woman who sued the Boy Scouts on behalf of her husband. How can you say Margaret Downey without saying Jr. at the end? Margaret Downey Jr. It's all one word. And she's good friends with Dawkins. Yeah. They may be dating, for all I know. I don't know. Dawkins' wife, I think, is an actress, but... Huh? She'd be okay with that, I'm sure.
Sure.
But Margaret Downey, I flirted with Margaret Downey Jr.
But you weren't dating?
I
you did
dated.
Mention her. Oh, and you didn't, you mentioned Corn Revere's wife, and you were not dating her.
Sigrid.
We now and you have the name.
I was never dating Sigrid Corn Revere.
So there you go. Three.
There's three
women. Three times you've spoken of women and you didn't say, oh, yeah, when we were dating.
I also spoke of Golda Meir and said that.
You did not speak of Golda Meir. Yes, I have been here every day. I have never heard you say the words.
Okay. This could be some money riding on this.
Uh-oh.
When we were talking about Pete Golden, Spicoli,
yes,
our manager,
right,
I said that any woman you mentioned, he said he had sex with her,
right,
because we had mentioned someone who I'm not going to say now,
right,
and I said, you can name anybody, you can name Golda Meir, and he goes, oh, I had sex with her. Yes, I did say Golda. The phrase, the name Golda Meir was said on this show,
all right,
in a sexual context without me involved. So when I was dating Madam Curry,
you took her to the Pink Palace of the Pacific.
Yes. I don't like Hawaii. I like Hawaii. Yeah. I went there. I hadn't taken a vacation in a long time. This is another thing I've done. Every time I say I was on vacation, I say I hadn't taken a vacation in 20 years, and I've mentioned at least four different vacations. Which
How
means
old are you?
By definition, I'm now 80.
Uh-huh.
I'm now a vampire.
Sure.
But I had a woman I was dating at the time who was a television actress.
Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc and I were out on a date.
A television actress. And she had, she was like a situation comedy actress. And she'd give, I'm not going to say her name.
Gina Davis.
Because they have unpleasant things to say. But she begged me, can we go on a vacation? Can we please go on a vacation?
Please.
And I said, where do you want to go? Anywhere you want to go. And she said, right, Hawaii. So we timed everything. I cleared my schedule mostly. I think I did a couple interviews over there. That was it. I cleared my schedule.
You didn't really go on vacation. You still worked,
I went
you?
To a different place. Yeah,
okay.
I worked there. I was working on a script or something. I was writing. But we went to Hawaii. We went to a really nice place, you know, and it was very, very romantic.
Uh-huh.
Watching
sure.
the beach.
Fabulous.
And we were there for, she was there for 8 days. I was there for three. We broke up on day two. On day two, I was in Hawaii.
So you broke up in Hawaii.
I broke up in Hawaii.
The cushiest spot in the world you broke up. Yeah. Had you been in Alaska, you'd both be dead.
I broke up, and what we did was we flew her friends over first.
Okay.
You know, I said, why don't your friends come over and visit? Her friends arrived at the airport and I left on the return flight. So she had a nice, like, eight-day stay in Hawaii, and five of them were without me. which I think is probably makes it...
Might have enhanced the
I could offer
Hawaiian
that
experience.
Deal to a lot of people. I could say, there are many, many women in this country that I could say, would you go to Hawaii with me for 8 days and I'll leave after three? And they would think that was... I left my credit card and I left. I think that breaking up with somebody in a wonderful romantic environment somewhere far away is the best idea possible. You can't drive over to their house. You can't try to... what are we going to do, fly to Hawaii again? You know? Someday, I will tell. Not today. Today's not the right day. Today's President's Day. Today I'm thinking about The View. But someday I will tell on this show the blow dryer story. Which is going to be a very special episode.
We get emails often from people who know the blow dryer story.
The blow dryer story is a full hour story, and it involves breaking up with a girlfriend.
If we ever have to do a show where it's on tape, we should do it.
That's perfect. That's a good for a tape show. And we won't even mention it at the top. We won't even mention anything. We'll just go. People will think that it's a live show, and they won't. No one will call in because the story is so compelling. It involves my genitals, a blow dryer, and a girlfriend, and it shows, it has, you know, when you went to clown college, yep. We both went to clown college,
yep.
They gave you a list of what you needed in a good clown gag,
yes.
Right? You needed stupidity, trickery, a blow, do you have these seven, like
yeah,
seven things?
Yeah, pants drop, explosion,
yeah, but, sure. But also,
run off at the end.
This has everything. It has pants drop, it has stupidity, it has trickery.
It has an explosion?
It does have an explosion.
Wow.
and it has...
it's nice of you to tease it like that.
When you have electricity, genitals, and a girlfriend all in a story, and you add an explosion, I think you have the best story of my life.
I can't tell it now.
We're halfway into the show. Cannot tell the story now.
I will.
Penradio@gmail.com. We're on the big free FM. You're just queer for the Gmails today, aren't you?
We're waist deep
okay.
in Gmails, and
okay,
I'd like
okay,
to catch
on. Let's get something out of the way. It's yep. President's Day, and one of the things presidents do is clear their desk. You're over there in undated. You're an undated with. What do you
I'm
got?
In
Throw
undated.
Anything at me. Throw the Gmails at me.
Instead of just criticizing Michael Moore, why not invite him on your show? You could have him on in person or by telephone. And then if he turns you down after you invite him, you can criticize him for being a wuss.
Michael Moore.
That's Gene wrote that.
Michael Moore has no fear of me whatsoever. He would not come on the show because he's a wuss. He'd come on the show because he has nothing to plug. The same reason, you know, you only go on shows when you have something to plug.
Right.
I mean, people, good
so
friends
why,
of mine,
why are you going on The View? We're
on The View
to plug
the live show
okay,
over
good.
At The Rio.
Sure.
You know, we have to always do that. And they're in Vegas. It's their big Vegas week. The View in Vegas. It's big. It's like Elvis coming to Vegas, you know. They wear the same jumpsuits. Incidentally, in the exact same size Elvis wore. They all wear the same jumpsuits. And so it's, you know, we're pimping our live shows. See, that's the problem. That's why I will show up at the opening of an envelope. I have to do every show all the time because I am always
pimping. You have a live
pimping.
Show on every day.
I'm always pimping something. Same
right.
as your boss, Lance
yep.
Burton.
Yep.
You're always selling something. So when a show comes to Vegas, Penn and Teller have to do it. We're going to be the Cups and Balls.
Right.
Teller's over there practicing. And the show on Thursday on The View is taped. Phony. I call BS on you. Go ahead. What do you got?
Well, here this was actually in the L.A. Times a couple of days ago.
Good.
And this is the bedrock of a faith is jolted. And this
Good.
Is about the Mormon Church.
Good.
Apparently they did some DNA testing.
Just so you know, the Mormon Church is going to hate us so much. It's open season on them. The Boy Scout show we're doing of Bulls hit
yes.
on Showtime, that show, the Boy Scouts, turned into the kind of the anti-Mormon show.
Hell yeah.
And I use the F word about Mormons a lot in this show. And I even trashed the Marriott. So
well, I have begged us to do Mormon archaeology as a topic.
But here's your chance to broach
it. This is like Mormon archaeology. They did DNA testing, and you know the Mormon Church made some very specific claims about the faith. And
what is the claim?
They said that the ancestors of American natives came from Asia. They came from the Middle East.
The ancestors of American didn't mean like Native
Americans were descended from a lost tribe of Israel.
So Indians, you're saying Indians.
The Indians reached the New World more than 2,000 years ago. They were directly descended from the lost tribe of Israel.
So the Mormons say that Indians or Jewish?
Native Americans.
I know where they got this information.
Yes.
F-Troop. Wasn't it Joey Bishop?
Yes.
Joey Bishop was an Indian
itself. The Hakawi Indians.
That was such a cop-out doing Hakawi. If they just done Fakawi, you know,
they never did the joke.
They never did the joke.
They never did the
joke. So they could, if they're not going to do the joke, they can do Fakawi, can't they?
They could have, yes.
And
they were afraid that the censor might know that joke.
And they found out that, boy, the American Indians are not from a Hebrew tribe.
Descended from Asia, not the Middle East. And many, many people are apparently very shaken by this.
Good.
Faith was shaken.
All those Mormons that are leaving the Mormon church because of the DNA, because that's the one mistake they found.
Yeah.
Well, good.
There you go.
Anything they do is really, really good. We're going to be back after this. Penn, I'm going to talk some more about this. And as you all know, Michael Goudeau, Penn Jillette, we are the Fakawi, an Indian tribe. had a horrible thought.
What is that?
Horrible thought. You know, our crew, Nate and all the guys.
Yeah.
Nate, who was Nate Santucci, who was running for some office here in Vegas.
We need to find out when that's
coming up.
Because there's
vote
a point
for
where we need to cut that off, isn't there?
Nate Santucci, Zeke Zabrowski, Michael, the whole gang. They do listen to our show in the shop, and they will be over with Teller setting up. So if they have
a chance to tell us.
I almost said if they have a transistor radio. I almost said that. If they have a radio while they're setting up. You only should use the phrase transistor radio when you're talking about, you know, they did that for people to get vasectomies or something. They give them a transistor radio, population control. If they have that, they could have it on and Teller could be listening. So if you are listening, Teller, that thing I said about you having no sense of rhythm, it's true.
You should have cleared up.
Did we finish everything? You were still talking about the Mormons.
You know, I was going to say that the Mormon Church indeed they have dismissed as heresy any suggestion that Native American genetics undermine the Mormon creed. So,
what is their argument?
Critics want the church to admit its mistake and apologize to millions of Native Americans it has converted through the story.
I'm catching up really late on this story.
There are people who believe that, yes.
There are Native American Mormons?
Yes, apparently a great many of them.
How can it be a great many? There aren't a great many Native Americans.
Percentage-wise,
okay. Because, I mean, how many, what's the population? See, these are the questions that come up, these burning questions come up in the show.
I hope it's on this two-page article before you...
How many Native Americans are there in the...
Seventy-four. 70-43. I'm sorry. I have no idea. Well, but, you know...
And so there's DNA. Now, this is the thing. Now, this is the God of the margins thing.
Yes, it is. It's just, you know what? They came in late, and they made some specific claims. And anytime you make specific claims in a religion, you're in trouble. You just can't say.
In the Christian religion, Jesus says he'll be coming back during their lifetimes.
Yeah, Well, there's some old people out there. 2000.
You know, they say that Moses was living to be hundreds of years old. And I mean, and then they tell you, as soon as you say, well, this isn't true, they say it's true on a deeper level. Now, if you can only use that argument, you know, if that argument was allowed in my high school,
that's
I would have graduated.
I know that it doesn't look like pi is correct here. 6.666722.
But...
On a deeper level.
This
is exactly... Because
what I was trying to say was this is the way you should live your life.
Right.
As though pi were this.
Right.
And, I, you know, the thing that makes me nuttiest is God works in mysterious ways.
Well, that's, you know...
And then also, God will never dish out more than you can take. Why does he have to go so near the limit? You know, it seems like if you believe in God, and you know, your life should be better than Penn Jillette's. That should be the baseline.
I think
you know?
That's the baseline, okay.
Yeah.
Somebody on his side would get perhaps better more favors than you.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say God is just and pleasant, you know?
Right.
I don't
think anyone has claimed that God is either just or pleasant.
No one's ever claimed
that. I don't believe that's, no.
No. God is a vengeful God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are the words.
There aren't many happy God.
And so by not believing, you've dodged that vengeance. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Here's your prize.
We're on Free FM, where we trash. Someone wrote that how happy they were of how many out-of-the-closet atheists were on the radio. Is that right?
Yeah, there were a lot, actually.
Yeah, because you're Adam Carolla.
Sure.
Has some very funny stuff to say about that. Adam Carolla, who's on Free FM, is an out-of-the-closet atheist. Right. Says the sentence, I am an atheist. And Stern, I mean, has for a long while, although he's not really on the radio. He's on a satellite, but still, you got to pay to get him, but he's still there somewhere.
They're still using the word radio, though.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? They're still using the word radio. That's okay. I guess that's a fine word. It's like, you know, it's like I use the word record. Uh-huh. I use the word record when they say a new record just came out by Eminem.
Right.
I say the word record. And people say, oh, you said, well, it's not a record.
Yeah, sure.
It's not a record. It is. It's recorded. What? When I buy an Eminem download, he's actually there? No, he's recorded. He's recorded. You can use the word record. You can use the word album. The word you don't want to use is Victrola.
And I bet there are people still using it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. You know, they use the term payola all the time. Because
sure.
Why wouldn't they? I believe Free FM is the only station that isn't involved in payola, you know, because we're not
playing
records.
As near as we can tell.
Yeah.
There's been no payola.
But they use the word payola, which comes from, of course, pay, meaning to pay.
And Ola.
And Ola from Victoria.
Hi. Hi
Ola.
In Spanish. Hi, give me money.
Pay hola. And that's from Victrola. And but you still dial the phone?
Your Spanish is amazing.
You know, when I did Handy Manny,
yeah?
I had to speak Spanish. I had to say buenos tardos.
Really?
What does that mean? That mean hello, retards?
It's something like that. That's pretty close. That was not good at all.
Buenos tardos? What does it mean?
I'm not sure what tardos is.
I'm doing a show for preschoolers.
Okay, well, in that case, you're probably safe, aren't you?
It's preschoolers, and there are words in the script I don't understand.
Hey, we still haven't heard back from the Pat the Postman people either about you playing bass.
Oh, yeah, I
want
to
music.
Do that.
Yeah.
Now, Pat the Postman, is that the name of it?
Yes.
Because, see, there's Pat the Cat, there's Pat the Bunny. I think that Pat the Postman is illegal in most every state for preschoolers, isn't it? You really shouldn't Pat the Postman.
No, his name is Pat.
Pat, see, that's
not like Pat the Bunny.
We have these. Pat the Bunny. Isn't Pat the Bunny a book, right?
Yes.
And it has, like, it has a fur you can touch.
Glued into it? I don't own it. But
you don't own Pat the... You have kids.
I have kids.
But you only play with your kids on Christmas.
I don't know. Maybe they have
they didn't get that last...
I'll ask them next Christmas. See you on the 26th,
but
I'll give you the
my
answer.
Wife and I, which is why, as you know, my wife and I, with the possible exception of you and your wife, are better than any other couple that ever lived.
Okay. We
get along great.
We do get along great.
There is no one.
And you and your wife.
There's no
well,
one
yes.
that loves their wife more than I love my wife. I
me.
May be tied. You may be tied. Can we go with tied?
We'll go with tied.
You're
all right.
More. You're going to be competitive
I'll,
about
no,
this?
No, I'll say tied.
Okay.
In the interest of time.
But one of the reasons we're such a great match is that we both have these same enormous holes in our logic, you know, or I guess our life experience. We just don't know things. So they gave us a book, Pat the Bunny
right.
and Pat the Cat. We got two books from people
uh-huh.
for Moxie, for
sure.
our daughter. And both my wife and I had the same question, which is, why are the bunny and the cat have the same name? So now you've taught us that it means to pet
yes.
the cat.
Right. So don't pat the postman.
Patting is this.
Yes.
And petting is this.
Yeah.
I don't think you're supposed to pat, you know. But anyway.
Bunnies are fragile. Don't
bunnies
pat
are fragile.
The bunny.
Bunnies aren't very fragile. Bunnies are not fragile.
Okay.
You know, bunnies
you
are,
have more bunny experience.
Bunnies
than
are very, very hard.
I was chasing a rabbit down a hill once. This is a true story. And it was a steep enough hill that I could keep
how
up with
come,
the rabbit.
Come, wait a second. How come I have stories about burning my genitals in a blow dryer and you have stories about chasing a rabbit?
Yeah, I was keeping up with the rabbit because it was a steep hill. But because I was running so fast, I couldn't bend over to pick up the rabbit. And so I was trying to figure out if I should just kick the rabbit. And as he tumbled, just grab him. But I didn't. I didn't actually kick the bunny.
What did you do? Just chased him?
I chased him for a long way.
Oh, it's a long way.
Well, you know, however long the hill was.
Where were you?
Half a mile.
Where were you to chase that whippet last week? Wasn't there a whippet that split from the dog show? He ran out of an animal carrier, and the whippet took off, and then people were chasing him in cars, and they couldn't catch the whippet? I have a dog story. I know.
I don't know that story.
I know
I'm sorry.
A dog story. They were very upset at the Westminster Dog Show, you know.
I heard this.
They heard there were some Afghans there.
Oh, boy. I can't believe you did that joke. Here's an email. One of my favorite movies is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which, in which you had a cameo
yep.
as a barker. I was wondering.
I wasn't a barker. I was not a barker. What the hell is wrong with you?
I'm reading the. I'm reading it.
I had a fight with Terry Gilliam about this. Okay, the term that is used in Sideshow, the term that is used in Carney, okay, is talker or spieler.
The talker.
Spieler or talker. The term barker was created by Hollywood. It's more that Hollywood jive. And I told Terry Gilliam I would not do the part if my credit was going to say barker. It said talker. Okay, go on with this very kind letter.
Were you acquaintances with Hunter? Also, how do you feel about the medium of gonzo journalism? From what I know about it, it seems to be drug-influenced type of writing. Do you think this takes away some of the credibility?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Next email. I never met Hunter Thompson.
No?
I wanted to. I was at Mitchell Brothers in San Francisco. You know Mitchell Brothers?
No.
We know different things. While you were chasing a rabbit, I was at Mitchell Brothers.
I was just outside of San Francisco chasing that rabbit.
Were you really?
I was.
How old were you?
Probably 14.
Okay, 14. Boy, that's at 14, if you'd gone to Mitchell Brothers in San Francisco, right, you'd be really thrilled. It's the porn place. They produced Beyond the Green Door and all that stuff. And it's also a place that one goes for lap dances and stuff.
Okay.
And I was
chasing bunnies.
Yeah.
You were chasing something else.
Yes. And I was in Pat.
Pat the kitty.
I was
our producer's waving. He's on the show.
I was in
Pat the Bunny.
I was at Mitchell Brothers, and as everybody knows, I guess Hunter Thompson was the night watchman at Mitchell Brothers. He used to be like the bouncer there. He did. Oh. And I went there. One of the Mitchell Brothers shot the other Mitchell Brother. You knew that.
I didn't know that either.
I told you
I didn't know anything about the Mitchell Brothers, and you just continued to taunt me.
There was a made-for-TV movie where I think Martin Sheen... No, not Martin Sheen. Who's the other one? The younger
Martin
Sheen.
Short.
No. Martin Sheen's son is... Emilio Estevez.
Yes, okay.
Emilio Estevez, and the guy was on, Three and a Half Men.
Sheen.
Charlie Sheen.
Sheen.
I think Charlie
Mr. Sheen.
Mr. Sheen. And Emilio Estevez. Emilio Estevez, who are brothers,
yes,
played the two Mitchell brothers, and one shot the other.
Which one shot who?
I believe Charlie shot Emilio, which is why you never hear about him anymore. Charlie has a, so I didn't meet Hunter Thompson there, but I do know Terry Gilliam.
Uh-huh.
I've met Terry
That'd
Gilliam
be cool.
a few times.
That seems
so
like fun.
Terry Gilliam, we were hanging out, and he said he was doing Fear and Loathing, and he had already hired the carnival barker, and I said, "Barker, it's Talker, you fool!" And we talked about that for a while, and then I don't know what he did to the actor. He did something awful. He already had a contract with the actor to have that part, and he went and put me in instead.
Once again, I get to hang out the underworkings of Hollywood.
Because I'm all Hollywood oriented because I'm going right from here over to the View to do the Cups and Balls. Hope I don't screw it up, but it doesn't matter. It's tape. I can screw up anything.
Right. You can do it twice.
Sure.
Not until Thursday. Oh. You could probably do it every day until then.
You saw between my fingers that I was holding the ball there. Oh, I'll just do it again. What was I talking about? Any idea?
Williams.
And
Hunter Thompson.
Hunter Thompson, yeah.
Terry Gilliam.
Yeah, Terry Gilliam.
That's right. Recap the whole show. I bet we could get them to rewind it and play it if you like.
Sure.
sorry to wait.
So Johnny Depp and Benicio del Toro came to Vegas. And at that time, Johnny Depp was full Hunter Thompson because he's kind of a method guy.
Right.
So he was like, had his hair shaved back like he was bald and a cigarette holder. And I took him to Krispy Kreme Donuts.
Right.
And a week later, the woman who waited on us at Krispy Kreme Donuts was going, "Why don't you ever bring famous people in here?" And I said, "I brought Johnny Depp in, but he was dressed as Hunter Thompson." I'm off to do The View. I've got work to do. The show is taped. It's fake. It's taped. It is not live, just so you know. This is Ben Gillette. I'm sitting here with Michael Dudeau. The show is taped. The Views are liars, all of them.